contractor because I think substance abuse prevention, which is the agency that sponsors the signer amendment. Okay. I don't have to tell you all this, this is the APHA. Tobacco addiction is the single most preventable cause of death in our society. That's the CDC statement. Tobacco and youth. The younger a person starts smoking, the stronger the addiction. And tobacco is a gateway drug. We've all heard that phrase before. Illicit drug use is approximately 8 times higher among 12 to 17-year-old smokers than 12 to 17-year-olds who never smoked. So this is why. What do we do next? Those numbers, those aren't happy numbers. The next thing we do is we have comprehensive tobacco prevention and control programs. And those programs have to include and integrate environmental strategies. They all have education, evaluation, enforcement, assessment. Those quit lines are really helpful. But environmental strategies are really one of our strongest ways to prevent tobacco addiction. So what are environmental strategies? These are strategies that focus on changing community norms, the availability of substances, and local policies. These are your tobacco taxes that continually raise the price of a packet of cigarettes. These are clean indoor air laws. When bars and clubs don't see a point of selling cigarettes anymore, because you can't smoke them there anyway. And the signer amendment. So, what is the signer amendment? Why am I here talking? Signer amendment requires states to enact a law prohibiting the sale and distribution of tobacco products to minors. That's anyone under 18. Some states have actually raised that number to 19. You have to actually enforce that law in a manner that can reasonably be expected to reduce the availability of tobacco products to youth younger than 18. And this is the fun part. You conduct random unannounced inspections for tobacco outlets using a probability sample. You go around looking to see who will sell tobacco to somebody under 18. And you report these annual findings to the Secretary of the DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services. Now what happens if the state decides not to do any of this stuff? Well, they get in trouble. There's actually a monetary penalty to not doing SINAR. And that means you lose 40% of your state's SAPT block grant. And for some states, that's an awful lot of money. Or there is actually an alternate penalty. And no state has actually ever been docked 40% of their block grant. Tens of millions of dollars for treatment and prevention. And no state has ever lost that much money for not selling, or for not working with SINAR. And territories that receive less than $1 million, the Virgin Islands, the Mariana Islands, those are actually exempt. And they don't get a penalty. So what is this alternative penalty? It's actually Section 214 in the congressional budget, and each state has to commit new funds for comprehensive tobacco compliance activities. It goes for education, it goes for enforcement of this law, and these have to be new funds that are coming into tobacco prevention. And of course, all of this, again, gets reported out to Health and Human Services and the Center for Substance Abuse Prevention. Implementing the SINAR regulations. In 1996, all 59 states and territories were asked to implement SINAR regulations and have, in effect, laws prohibiting any manufacturer, retailer, distributor, anyone from selling a tobacco product to somebody who's under 18. They have to enforce that law, and that's really a point we want to emphasize. This law has teeth. They have to conduct annual random unannounced inspections. And they have to negotiate interim target rates and a date to achieve a non-compliance rate of no more than 20%. That means when you go out, no more than 20% of your retailers can actually sell tobacco to your inspectors. And that 20% target was actually established in 2003. States had some time to negotiate down. At one point, the highest violation rate in each state was 72%. So that means you could go into most stores and actually, a 17-year-old could buy tobacco products. No one was carding, no one was doing any of it. There weren't those little signs that say we card or you have to show your ID. Currently, all 59 states and U.S. So, about the laws. All 59 states and jurisdictions now actually have a law that says you can't sell tobacco to anyone under 18. And if Sinar did nothing, they did this, and this is huge. And each state has passed a law that's actually tailored for its own state. Some laws are in the tax code, some are in the health code, some are civil laws, some are criminal laws. It's really all up to a state. It really shows the commitment they have to tobacco control and how that law is written. And of course, the Red Lake Nation actually receives an SAPC block grant, but it's exempt from the Sinar requirement. So that's why it's 59, not 16. Enforcement and inspections. And of course, these are averages. In 2006, an average state conducted 984 Sinar inspections. That means the average state went into 984 stores and tried to buy tobacco. And female inspectors conducted about not quite half of those inspections. We do encourage that states really try and balance the inspectors that they have between girls and boys, and they can use any 14, or they can't use 14-year-olds anymore, that's new. 15, 16, and 17-year-old inspectors will actually go out and try and buy tobacco. And they do. And they sell. In 2006, 447 citations were assessed, and 185 fines. This law has teeth. There are fines, there are citations. Some states even have the power to revoke and suspend licenses. New York actually linked their tobacco license to their lottery license. So you can really hit a store hard for selling tobacco to a minor in states that have really, really shown their commitment to this. Now, how do we do the inspections? We conduct the Sinar survey. Every state develops a sampling frame, and every state develops a different sampling frame, something that's useful and shows diversity in their state. Some states actually do censuses and go to every store in their state. Some states go more than once, which is new and huge. All they have to do is take a random sample of stores in their state is fine. They can take any list they can find, but every 3 years they actually have to check their list and validate their list, which is something that we were talking about earlier about how you had to supplement your list and go through the phone books. States are asked to do that every 3 years to make sure that the list is valid. They walk the streets, they look for stores, they spend a lot of money on it. So every state has a list of every tobacco outlet in the country. They determine their appropriate sample size. Most states actually go over their sample size, which is great, and do some extra inspections just to make sure that they're really getting an accurate picture of what's going on in their state. And then they select their sample according to whatever sample design they've chosen as best and CSAP has approved. And of course, they fill all that out in their annual Sinar report, which comes to SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And this report must be made available to the public. It should all be online or in an office somewhere, and you can get your hands on it if you so desire. So, is this working?
Yeah.
There are no states in 2006 that were over the 20% violation marker. Most states, as you can see, are between 6 and 10%. And there's some between 11 and 15. We're getting states that are bringing in numbers that they have 3% violation rates. That means only 3% of the stores in the state would actually sell tobacco to a minor. Which, from 72, is pretty cool. And actually, that's the last year, the first year that all 50 states in the District of Columbia have been in compliance. The national rate, this is weighted for population, is down in 2006 to 10.9%. That means anywhere in the country, about only 10.9% of stores will sell tobacco to a minor. And that's down from 40%, so we've dropped 30% in 10 years. Now, what does this look like compared to use? Well, if you can see the line, the blue line is the sign art rate. And it's going down, and use rates are going down. It's kind of nice to see. Because these numbers are from Monitoring the Future, and they're from 2005. Now, the big test is perceived availability of cigarettes. Again, the blue line is the sign art rate, and it's going down. And 10th and 8th graders, it's going down slowly. And that's okay. It's going down. Okay. And that just means there's more work to do. And really developing comprehensive sign art programs that involve enforcement, and enforcement really is the key here. Keeping those teeth in that law, keeping those merchants on their toes. Merchant and community education, you don't want to just go ahead and start sending citations out. Part of sign art is really going around and talking to merchants and informing them of these laws, and really working with the community. You want to get these rates lower. It's not about busting merchants. It's about finding out what is and making what is better. Community mobilization. This works best at a local level, getting your communities involved. Programs where kids go to stores and say, hey, don't sell to us. Programs where community leaders go to stores and say, hey, we really don't want you to do this. It's important to ID. And really checking ID is all this is about. Policy and regulatory evaluation. Are your state laws working? Are your state regs working? And interagency collaboration. There is no agency that can do all of this by themselves. And that's really where we're going now. CDC funds stuff like this. CSAP funds stuff like this. States are funding these programs by themselves, and really integrating those programs together with the enforcement, with communities, with departments of health and departments of addiction, and bringing everybody and everybody's resources together to collaborate. Next steps. And our next steps, SINAR is only one part of a really comprehensive tobacco program. It's a good part, but it's only one part. And SINAR has to be incorporated in the state's overall comprehensive tobacco prevention control plan. No one agency can do all of this by itself. It's about working together and making change, and we've made a really good start. It's been 12 years now. We've dropped 30% already. See if we can get down just that little bit more. So, that's me. Thank you. Questions? Yeah. particularly know. There are some states that have shown a great commitment, and they tend to lead the states around them. But there hasn't been really a regional shift yet. Actually, CSAP goes through all the raw data and makes sure it's reasonably valid. But there is no third party coming in yet.
So you wouldn't know if the state is very tricky to
We've tried as reasonably to make sure that isn't happening. All of their sampling methodologies have to be approved. They have to send in their approved data with the store addresses. They have to validate their list frame and send us the validations of those data. Again, it would be better if there was a third party going through it, but this is what we've got. Yeah. It's actually coming from the state. They have a list of some states, not all states actually use a list, some use areas. But every state should have a list frame, which lists every outlet, and they're required to keep that up to date. And of course check its validity every 3 to 5 years. It depends on the state, because each state has the discretion to do it the way that's best for them. Some states go through the local universities to pull data, or to pull the sample. Some states have statisticians in-house and feel comfortable doing that. Some states contract everything out to their Department of Health. It really just depends on where the state is comfortable and where their strengths are. The question is, how do states pay for this? And really, it's a good question. A lot of states will tell you this is an unfunded mandate. There are no special funds for CYNAR. There are no special funds for CYNAR, but it is a condition to their block grant. Their block grant is some tens of millions of dollars in some cases. Some states pay for it themselves. Some states take money out of their block grant to do this. But there is no special funding for it. It is a vulnerable place, and we ask the states to keep the pictures on file. There's a guidance document about how to pick your inspectors. I can actually send you all to the link. It's on the CSAP website. How to pick your inspectors, how to validate that they're not too old. And actually, that's one of the reasons that 14-year-old inspectors are no longer allowed. They were too easy. So now it's between 15 and 17, unless you have a law that says you can't use minors. And I think the only one who's got that is Puerto Rico. There are, of course. Most states pay the kids. They actually have to sign up all the tax forms, and They can't work over a certain number of hours. They can't work during school. And the kids I get will say it's the coolest after school job they've ever had. CSAP has actually been encouraging is to actually separate the buys from the enforcement. Have them go in later, a letter. Has everyone seen Clerks? There's a scene in the Clerks movie where an enforcement agent comes in and says you've sold. And that's actually with the time and the date. That's actually what CSAP's really encouraging is to separate it out. There is usually an adult monitor that will go with. Sometimes that person is a law enforcement officer, sometimes it's a community person or whoever the state has brought in, but they don't go by themselves. One of the things they have to report to HHS is actually their safety restrictions. How they're training their youth, how they're protecting their youth, and really making sure that these kids are not in a vulnerable spot. It's a good question, and it depends on who you talk to. There are some people who say it did for a little while, and now it's picking back up. There are people you talk to who say, it didn't do anything. And then there are people you talk to, yeah, it's working, it's doing what we can. And really, there's so many other ways kids get cigarettes. Your parents buy a carton, you steal a pack out of the carton. There are so many other ways.
Yeah. And are there other ways you could be spending our tax tobacco prevention and reduction dollars that would actually prevent the problem?
And there are actually people studying that one now. There's a study out of DePaul, and Jared Franza is studying, I'm not sure which university he's associated with. I think he's in California. And there are conflicting messages on that. CSAP's pretty sure it's working. It really depends on the state's commitment. Some states do have youth groups that will go through and we'll stop at each store and say, you know, we're going to do inspections in here. Don't sell to us. They'll go in with the education, they'll bring the laws and the clerks and say, here it is. Don't sell to us.
I think you should have asked me that. Here.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, yeah. Right. And we'd hope so. It really does depend on the state's commitment and whether or not there is that push for them to do more. Really, all they're required to do is the inspections. Anecdotally, yeah. Officially, they don't report that to us, and I haven't seen it. Anecdotally, the kids I go out with, because I go out on inspections when I'm with the state, they talk about it all the time. It's the biggest thing they do. All their friends want to come in and be inspectors. It really is getting something going. But officially, they don't report it.